Today, I would like to share with you from the passage of Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 21. Hear then the word of the Lord. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Let's start out with a word of prayer as we open up the word. Lord, as we meditate on your word, may you speak, Lord. May it not be of me, but you who speaks through me, that through your word and by your word that we will be transformed to be like you. And Father, what is not of you, may we not remember. But what is of you, may we take it to heart and be transformed by your word. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. So we're celebrating our last Sunday of the year. And for many of you, as we think about 2020, it's been very unsettling. It's been trying. It's been disruptive. Our way of lifestyle has changed tremendously. And it began this year with the impeachment of the president and was acquitted by the Senate. Then the COVID pandemic came to the U.S. And ever since the pandemic came, up to now, we have had 18 million people who have been infected and 330,000 people who died. And because of this pandemic, we've seen high unemployment, instability in businesses, instability in the lives of people. People who are working in restaurants especially have been affected by the virus. One of my favorite steakhouses, Pacific Dining Car, closed down in Santa Monica. And many people who are in hospitality business, travel, have suffered tremendously financially. Some businesses are on the verge of declaring bankruptcy due to this crisis. And then besides this, to top it off, there was the race riots with the death of George Floyd that occurred in late May, and the riots went on from June to roughly until like October. And I myself experienced this tense situation, even behind my backyard where cars, looters were driving back and forth my neighborhood, witnessing looting a couple blocks away, and seeing this racial tension that have risen all over the nation. Violence have been rampant in this nation. In fact, on Christmas Day, there was an explosion that happened in Nashville, Tennessee. And in the midst of all this, we also had the election that was very divisive and unsettling. And I'm praying, as I think about these times, what should we do? There's so much difficulties. People's personal lives been affected. People going to college for the first time have not experienced what it means to be away from home because many of them are learning through virtual. They have not experienced what it means to make relationships or friendships. All these are happening. And aren't you fatigued? I am sometimes being stuck at home. Would like to go out and meet people, but cannot because of this virus. And even we as a church haven't met since last year, March. And it's almost about a year, in about a couple of months. And there's no sign that we will be able to open up until things come clear. And I'm pretty sure it'll be later on this year. But we know in the midst of all this, we've been faithful in being together as a church. And I have witnessed within our church people the effects of 2020. Some lost their jobs. Some have had COVID, or some do have COVID right now. Some have seen death of their loved ones, especially their mothers dying because of coronavirus. And witnessing them brings a lot of tears in my heart to see what this is doing, causing depression, instability, anxiety, and uncertainty. And amidst of all this, God is there. As you sang the song way maker. Even though we don't know he's working, God is working. And that's the same case in the times of Isaiah. If we look at the text here from Isaiah 43, the context is this, that the Israelites are in captivity. The first captivity came with the capture of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians. Then the southern kingdom, the nation of Judah, is now taken up to Babylon, to a foreign location. Culture, religion is totally different. Even the food is different. And while there, they're experiencing, like what we're experiencing in many shape or form, uncertainty, unsettledness, anxiety, depression. Many cannot go back to their home. They're not supposed to. And God is working there, and God is speaking. Now, what is speaking? He's telling them a message of hope. He's telling them the message that don't look at your circumstances, but look forward. He's saying, don't look at your circumstances, but look forward. Say that to one another, don't look at your circumstances, but look forward. And when we say, don't look at your circumstances, what we see is the people of Israel are in Babylon, saddened, not in control of their circumstances, but they're constantly thinking about what should have, what could have happened if they did something differently. And we need to ask the question, why did Isaiah tell the people not to look at their circumstances? Because when you look at the current circumstances, it all boils down to inability to do things, because when we think about what could have, what should have, it makes us constantly ponder and be depressed and not do anything. One financial investor told me this about the stock market. If we could have and should have, all of us would have been billionaires. We would have never made any mistakes. And you know, in life, there's a lot of things we could have and should have. And what God is saying is, amidst these hardships, amidst these difficult times, don't dwell on it. And instruction that Isaiah gives starts out with verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, when Isaiah is talking about forget the former things, he's not talking about forget the goodness of God, the things that God has done in terms of taking them out of captivity from Egypt, or God creating miraculous signs and wonders in their lives. When he talks about forget about former things, forget about what could have, what should have. Instead, look at the situation that you're in and move forwards. And Isaiah's reminding the people of Israel the goodness of God. Look at verse 16 and 17. He says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots, the horses, the army, and the reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. The Lord delivered the people of Egypt. These people were going through turmoil themselves, the Israelites as well as the Egyptians. The Israelites, their turmoil was being stuck as slaves, laboring their backs off without any pay, serving the Egyptian nation. The Egyptians were benefiting from slavery. They're oppressing the people. But the turmoil came where they saw the seven plagues, where they saw unexpected things happen to them, skies being darkened, the frogs coming, and then the plague where the firstborns were killed. And at the same time, God is reminding what he had done amidst of this. The Israelites, amidst this uncertainty, saw certainty in that them being free. And on the way to the promised land, while the Egyptians chased them through the Red Sea, God split the Red Sea so they could walk through it. And then God put the Red Sea back together, killing the people who are chasing the Egyptians. And so, forget the hardships. God has been good. The Israelites, remember what God has done? He delivered us from the misery of slavery, and he showed you how he did it. So remember, God is going to do a new thing. So instead of thinking of the past, forget it. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it eat you away. Instead, God is going to do a new thing. What is he going to do? He says here, verse 19, see, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it springs up to you. Do not perceive it. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And Isaiah is going to share later, and I'm going to share with you what he's going to do. But in the process of assuring the people that God is going to do a new thing, God tells them, amidst of going through this, amidst the uncertainty, as he's going to do a new thing, do not fear. It's very interesting. In verse 1 and verse 5, it says, but now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So the first thing that God says to us, why we shouldn't fear, is he's reminding us that we belong to him. And when we belong to God, why wouldn't a father not take care of us? Why wouldn't he not look after us? Why wouldn't he guide us through the difficult moments of our life? Of course he's there because you belong to the Lord. Now, one commentator writes this way, knowing that we belong to the Lord is a wonderful answer to fear. We can know that he holds us, protects us, guards us, cares for us. Notice God can hold you. He protects us. He guards us, cares us. We can know that he would not have created, redeemed, and called us unless he intended to finish his work in us. How can we be afraid when we know God is for us and is looking after our interests? Do you believe that? God is for you. And you don't need to worry about the uncertainties because God is there with you because you are his own. And then he describes in verses 2 to 7, the things that we will go through. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You know, when you pass through the waters, the rapid waters, God is there with you. You won't be swept away. When you pass through the fires, you will not be burned. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, verse 4, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. And then verse 5, he says this. And let's say it together. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. Do not be afraid. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Again here, God says, do not be afraid because I'm with you. Do you know that God is with you amidst all these difficult times? God is with us. God is in our midst, amidst of all these instabilities. God is with us because you know why? He loves us. We're his. Romans 8:31 says this, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that? God is for you. Who can be against you? And his presence will protect you just as he protected Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who went through the fire, and God was with them. And it is true that God will deliver us. Why? Because he loves us, because you're precious in his sight. You are God's children. You are claimed to be his own. You belong to him. And I know for us as a church, if you look forward 2021, it's going to be a wonderful year. Even though we're going to see the fires, even though we're going to go through the waters, I can see a light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to have a vaccine. We're going to have also something good. Mark that in your calendar. Later on this year, we're going to have our 30-year anniversary. We want to invite you to join us as we celebrate our anniversary. We're going to be together as a church physically celebrating the presence of God, celebrating our presence, experiencing the love of God, and being community as one. And we will be eating together again. I'm looking forward to that. And we will not be prohibited in going to restaurants. We'll be having a wonderful time as a community, making friendships again. And so I'm looking forward to it. So don't dwell on the past. Let's look forward. So when we look forward, there's hope. And the Israelites are given hope. Verse 19, Isaiah said, I'm doing a new thing. The hope is this, things are going to get better. Do you believe that? The hope is this, that we're God's children and God is with us, leading us to the goodness. God is with us, guiding us to wonderful things. What are the new things? So here I am. I'm going to answer, what are the new things? You will not perceive it. You'll realize it later. It's happening right now. And God will give us a good thing that's going to happen. What are the new things? We will have a road to safety. We will have prosperity. We will be successful. God will lead us in that direction. The new things for the Israelites when Isaiah proclaimed, I will do a new thing, was that later on they will go back to the promised land. With returning to Jerusalem, they will build the walls. They will rebuild the temple with Ezra. And God is going to guide them. These are the new things. And what are the new things? It's also going to be the new things, the gift of salvation for all. And God is at work, and he's saying, he will give drink to my people, my children. God's going to refresh us. God's going to satisfy our needs because you are God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. And so have this hope that 2020 is the past. 2021 is going to be good. Don't dwell on the past. Believe it. It's going to be good. Do you believe me? I believe the Lord is going to be good. And we might say, it might not be. Look what I'm saying. This is what the Israelites were feeling too. Believe the Lord is going to be a new thing. And Hebrews 11, 1 and 6 says this. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope. Do you have confidence in the hope that it's going to be good? For the assurance that we do not see. Of course, we're not going to see it, but he's going to make it happen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We need to have this confidence and hope that it's going to be better. And we need to trust God's word because Numbers 23:19, they said together, God is not a man that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God is never a liar, nor does he change his mind. When he says he will do something, he will fulfill it. Let's even look at the lives of many believers, even our lives. When I look back, God has never lied. What the scripture says has never been false. I remember a time when I just wondered, how am I going to pay for tuition for my child? You know, I pray to the Lord, and Philippians says this, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. I claimed it, and I prayed. And the next morning, the Lord told me, buy this. And then within 3 days, it doubled, and I sold it. I mean, tripled, and I sold it. And here, I was able to pay the tuition for my child. God is at work. And if you look back, think about your life. Look back. Why do we become Christians? We saw God working. We saw God's faithfulness. We saw God's goodness. And we need to understand that we need to believe that he's going to do it again over and over within our lives. God's going to do it again over and over our lives. We need to believe. We need to have faith, trusting that he will. He has never lied, and he will never lie again to us when he gives us a promise. I strongly believe that because we are his people. Look at verse 19b. It says, to give drink to my people, my chosen. Then verse 21, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Now, God is doing all this so we can proclaim our praise to him. And what is that praise? the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the things that God has done in our lives, our praise, being His children, that God takes care of us, that God doesn't mean harm for us, that God's plans are for good, not for harm, that God gives us hope amidst this uncertainty. And so as we reflect at 2020, don't let it bother you. Move forward and believe that God can do and God will do and God has done great and mighty things and begins with us that we're His children. We're His chosen people. John 1, verse 12 to 13 says this, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." We're born of God. And because we're born of God, we're born and created for a purpose. And God wants us to accomplish that purpose by creating us, and He wants us to fulfill that by being good to us. And here in the book of Isaiah, God describes two purposes that we have. First of all, it's in Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 13. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor would there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among us. You are my witness, declares the Lord, and that I am God. Yes, and from ancient of days, I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" We are God's witnesses. We testify about our relationship with Jesus. We're called by God to talk about not only His greatness, but our relationship, our fulfilling relationship, how He has been faithful, how He's been working in our lives, how He's been doing miraculous things in our lives. And every time as I think about what God's been doing, every time as I think about the things He has done, God has been good. You know, the song we sang, The Goodness of God, you know, it goes like this. "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails." I believe that. God's mercy never fails. "All the days I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing the goodness of God." Do you believe that? "All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, oh, I will sing to the goodness of God. I love your voice, for you had led me through the fire in the darkness night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I've lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I'm able, I will sing the goodness of God. Because your goodness," you know here, God's goodness is running after us. It's running after us. Your goodness is running after us. It's running after us. "With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything because your goodness is running after us and it's running after me. Because your goodness is running after me, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything, because your goodness is running after me. It keeps running after me. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, oh, I'm going to sing the goodness of God. Because all my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so good. With every breath I'm able, oh, I'm going to sing the goodness of God, or I'm going to sing the goodness of God." You know, when I think about that, every time I look back at my life, it's the goodness of God. God's been really good. You might not think so, because you're looking at the circumstances you're in, and that we might ask God and He hasn't answered our prayers. That's such an immature way of approaching God. God is not a need-based God. God is a relationship, and He's been good in our lives. And when you look back, he has never lied. He's been faithful. He's been good. And we need to always remember. And that's why 1 Thessalonians says this. In everything, give thanks. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. Even minimal things, having clothes on our backs, having an ability to eat, that's something we're really grateful for. And instead, we think about 1 or 2% that God hasn't done in our lives. You know, sometimes hardships are necessary to make us better. So I'm thankful for 2020 because God has been good. And so the first thing is you and I are called to be a witness to the goodness of God. But also, notice here, we are his servants. Not only are we a witness, Isaiah says that we're the servant of God, and God wants us to be his servant. If you look at verse 21, it says, the people I formed for myself, God created us for him, that we may proclaim his praise. We're created to praise God as his servant. A servant is not a person who is forced to serve, but a servant who is willing to serve out of his own will, out of his own joy, because we experience so much grace in our lives. If you want to be a servant, start remembering what God has done in our lives. One commentator wrote it this way. From all which texts laid together, it appears that this letter deliverance, compared with that out of Egypt, is not to be confined to the freedom from Babylonish captivity, but to extend to the consequences of it, especially to the redemption by Christ, because otherwise that Egyptian deliverance was more glorious and wonderful in many respects than the Babylonians. Now he's giving a promise when he says, I will do a new thing. Ultimately, what he's going to do is give us deliverance. And that's the promise of Christ. A new thing that's going to be good. And we as servants are to bring that message, serving God, so he may delight in us. And so don't dwell on what could have, what should have. Don't dwell on it. Dwell on the goodness of God. Dwell on what he has done and proclaim to others as a witness what God has done. As I think about 2020, yes, it's been a rough time for us. It's been a very rough time for us. You know, as a pastor, I'd like to meet you. I'd like to see you. I don't want to talk to a camera. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. I'm going to converse with you. I'm going to eat with you. We can't do that. And of course, I shed tears in witnessing some of our members, their funerals, burying their parents because of COVID. And I'm in tears to hear that some of us are going through unemployment, financial hardships. But God is good. I think about this period of 2020. God's been really good to us as a whole. For myself, it's wonderful to have my children at home. They might not like it, but I love it. Why? Because I get to relate with them. It's wonderful to see God working in our lives, healing us, bringing forth a healing in our lives. And through our imperfection, learning how to accept, learning how to share with one another. And so, yes, there's bad things in 2020, but God has been good. And I proclaim the goodness of God. And I do hope that you too can experience the goodness of God.